The General Conference Session of 1867. But their stay in Greenville was short, for the General Conference was to open in its fifth annual session in Battle Creek on Tuesday, May 14. Other annual meetings were to follow, and they intended to be there. They were. The editorial page of the Review and Herald dated May 28 carried reports of the meetings. In half a column, James White gave somewhat of a report. It opened. The General Conference just passed has been the very best we ever attended. The large house of worship was crowded to its utmost capacity during the Sabbath and first day. The conference met in the new church building, which had been hastened to completion to accommodate the conference. White's report continues. As we had become weary in journeying to the place of meeting and getting ready to move, and had a house full of brethren, and many kindly calling upon us, we felt excused from preaching before those more able. But as the way was opened, we spoke at nine both Sabbath and first day, upon the coming of the Lord, and felt much as we used to feel on such occasions. We also enjoyed a precious season of prayer at our dwelling with brethren Andrews, Bordeaux, and Pierce. This was the best day we had seen for 21 months. The room seemed filled with holy angels. Ibid, May 28, 1867. The statistical report of the conference session listed 28 ordained ministers, 10 licensed ministers, and a total membership of 4,320.
J. N. Andrews was elected president of the General Conference, Uriah Smith, secretary, and I.D. Van Horn, treasurer. As for the SDA Publishing Association, which James White had headed from its inception, J. M. Aldrich was chosen president.
Aside from routine business, the outstanding item was a resolution offered by J. N. Andrews on Friday afternoon and unanimously adopted. It read, "Whereas, the season of fasting and prayer that the war might be brought to a close was followed by a signal answer to that prayer, and whereas, such answer to prayer called for the deepest humiliation before God, that we might discharge the great responsibilities that devolved upon us by this opening to give the warning voice of the third angel, and whereas, instead of this, a spirit of self-laudation and vanity came over us that justly displeased the Lord. Resolved, that we publicly acknowledge the hand of God in the great humiliations that have come upon us, and that we beseech the great God of heaven to grant us such a spirit of repentance and humiliation that he can properly remove his just displeasure from us. Resolved, that we express our solemn convictions that in some places our brethren have been more anxious to impress upon the public that they were an upright worthy people, than to call their attention to the awful importance of the truths we cherish. Ibid." James White referred to this action in his brief report. The resolution relative to our exaltation as a people in consequence of God's signal answer to our prayers in relieving our country from the terrible war was an unspeakable relief to our feelings, as we felt we were the most guilty of the wrongs expressed in that resolution. And as we bowed with a large audience to confess our sins and implore the removal of the afflicting hand of God, we all wept together, and felt that God did answer our united prayers. Ibid. Uriah Smith fills in the story. The resolution in reference to the humiliation that now becomes us in view of our past self-glorying and vanity over God's gracious dealings with us was not passed merely by the General and Michigan conferences in their business capacities, but on Sabbath morning while the house and gallery were crowded with a promiscuous assemblage of Sabbath keepers, the resolution was read from the desk by Brother White, and after some feeling and pointed remarks by him on the subject, the whole congregation gave it a hearty adoption by a rising vote. Then all bowed down and joined with him in a fervent prayer of penitence, confession, and supplication for God to forgive our wrongs, and remove his just displeasure from us. This was a point of most intense and thrilling interest and solemnity, and we trust the impression it produced will not soon fade from the minds of those who were present for the occasion. Ibid.
Another General Conference action was stated in a few words but had far-reaching implications. Resolved, that we recognize the hand of God in the successful establishment of the Health Institute, and that we invite the continued action of our people in order that this may be enlarged to meet the wants of its patients, IBID. An appreciable beginning had already been made to bring about this enlargement. Steps that James and Ellen White could see were very premature. This caused them deep concern, and in time the light that God gave called for rather radical action. In a few days, James and Ellen White would be making their way back to Greenville. The Battle Creek Church had not yet truly disabused themselves of their indifferent attitudes toward the whites, but there was an exchange of formal statements published in the Review. The Battle Creek Church expressed sympathy, and James and Ellen White expressed love and confidence in the church at Battle Creek. They requested the prayers of the church and all who had faith, IBID. By the end of May, they were back in Greenville.